chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to try to bring you a little bit up to date, but I'm going to read verse 19. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For all, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, positive and negative in him, but in him was what? Yea. Now what? Well, look at verse 20 is my text. For all the promises of God in him are yea. And in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Then all the promises of God that are in Christ are yea, they're positive. And when God makes you a promise, and he makes a promise to the body of Christ, that promise is as sure as you're sitting in that pew right now. Now, what's the problem is, a lot of times people fail to rightly divide the Bible, and they'll take promises that God didn't make unto them and try to live by that, and they end up falling flat on their face. Let me turn to John chapter 14 a moment. Let me give you an illustration. In John chapter 14, now, verse 11. John chapter 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12. Now watch it. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now that sounds good. He that believeth on me, y'all believe on him? A little light from the class. We just have a little Bible study here. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, right? You saved? Well, then you believed on him somewhere. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You still saying you believe on him? Amen? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, have you done greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you even done the works of the Lord Jesus Christ? Forget the greater works. How about just the works that he did? Huh? I thought you believed on him. That's a great promise, isn't it? Do you see what people get themselves into when they do not rightly divide this Bible? That is a great promise. I mean, if God told me that, boy, I'd be jumping for joy. That's a great promise. But that's not a promise to you. That's a promise to the 12. And they did the works that Jesus Christ did. You say, well, Jesus Christ raised the dead. So did Peter. Jesus Christ walked on water. So did Peter. I mean, on the thing goes. So when we talk about the promises of God, number one, you got to have the promise that God gave to you as a member of the body of Christ, and the only way that you can get them promise is by rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this promise in John chapter 12, 14, that's a great promise. That's a promise that's yea, but it would not be yea to you. It would be nay. I thought I'd throw that in. While we're in John chapter 14, look back in there. We sung the song. And I love that song. And Ronnie, you can sing it every Sunday. I don't want you to quit singing that song. But there is a little part in that song that's just a little bit unscriptural. course, about every song you sing is going to be that way. Look in John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Okay, there we are, back to believing. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for who? In my Father's house, we sung Victory of Jesus, sitting there in about a mansion He has built for me. Now tell me something. The first thing you've got to realize is, where is His house? Where is my Father's house? He said in verse 1, in my Father's house are many mansions. They're not outside the house. They're in the Father's house. Amen? Do y'all see that? Turn back to John. Look in John chapter 2. Notice in verse 14. John chapter 2, verse 14. Well, let's go 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now, where is his Father's house at? Where is he at? He's in Jerusalem. Where at in Jerusalem? In the temple. Is the temple the Father's house? When Jesus, and that temple, by the way, is a pattern of the temple that's in heaven. Amen? And Jerusalem, just as Jerusalem on earth, there is a heavenly Jerusalem in heaven. Just as there's a Mount Zion on earth, there's a Mount Zion in heaven. And just as there's a temple on earth, there's a temple in heaven. And inside that temple, their mansion. And you want to see something that we just rightly divide in the word of truth? That's a great promise. We shout, jump pews, I got a mansion. Or is that mansion? Didn't it ever strike you funny? Folks, that's not for you. I don't have time to run the references, but Jesus said to the 12, he said, you're going to sit on 12 what? Thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Their place is in that new Jerusalem, in that city, inside that new temple that's coming down on this earth, and they're going to be built, and they'll be in there judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Not to you. You don't have a mansion. They sing, I believe that song, you know, just build me a cabin. I don't want no cabin. Say, well, you just taking it all. You took the water out of the Baptist, now you take my mansion out of the sky. You never had no mansion up there anyway. So, well, where are we going to be at? We're going to be in the heavens. We're going to be out trying to ruling and reigning with Christ in God's vast creation out there. Who knows where we might be ruling and reigning at? That's going to be determined by you and what you do on this earth. Now, if you suffer with Him, you'll reign with Him. Positive, negative to positive. Now, so you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. the promises that's going to be yea has got to be to you and not to Israel. All right, I want you to notice some of these promises. Oh, by the way, turn over. We're talking about that. Look in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Back in 2 Corinthians. So the promise, all the promises of God that are in Him are yea. They're positive to you. You can trust them. You can lay them to heart. You can say, God, you said this, and I believe that. And God will never, ever let a promise fall. If He made you a promise, you take it to the bank. He's going to keep that promise. But just make sure He made it to you. How do I do that? Rightly divide the word of truth. Now look in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. He said in verse 16, "For this cause we faint not, for though our outward man perishes every day, suffering, it's going away. I mean, we're aging, folks, getting older. I still have the mind of a 20-year-old, but I can't get this body to go like a 20-year-old. I mean, you know, I have in my mind, I said, man, I can do that till I start, and I can't do that. Now I can sit and just do it in my mind all day long. What happened? Old body's perished. The outward man. Now look what he said. He said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, isn't that something? Paul, every boat he got on sank. He was beat. He was stoned. I mean, he suffered like nobody I know of suffered outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And he called them light afflictions. We get a hangnail and we're just being persecuted for Christ. I mean, you know, persecuting us to us is getting up on Sunday morning, going to the closet and saying, I don't know what to wear. You ever done that? No. June does it all the time. No, I'm just kidding. But look what he said. Though our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things that are seen is your outward body. The things which are not seen is your inward man. For the things which are seen, your body, are temporal, just temporary. But the things which are not seen, your inward man, is what? Eternal. Now look at this thing about it. Our light, it work of a weight of glory. Look back in Romans chapter 8. And then we'll move on. Romans chapter 8, in verse 18. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Now you notice, folks, and he goes on and talks about the creation groaneth, and he talks about, and he says in verse 23, not only they, the creation and everything, but ourselves also are groaning. You'll notice verse 22. He said, "The creation groaneth and travaileth in what? Pain, together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." And folks, that's when the Lord's going to come. We call it the rapture of the church. When those that are of us are saved, and He takes us out of this, delivers us out of this evil world, and fashions our body like unto His glorious body. And we're going to shine and have glory with Him out there in the ages to come. And we're going to be trophies and demonstrate His grace and show off to the universe what God's grace is. What a time that's going to be. And that's what we're waiting for. And so Paul said, look, that's our suffering down here, it's just temporal. And it's not to even be compared to that glory that we're going to have up yonder someday. And folks, that's what we ought to be living for. Instead of living down here day by day for our old flesh and our old self, we ought to be thinking about living for that day up there in glory with Him. For when Christ shall appear, then we shall appear with Him in glory. And you know what glory is? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, there's one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, and the stars differ in glory. You know what shows forth the glory? It's our brightness. It's our light. And you know some of you is going to be awful dim up there because you didn't rightly divide and do what the Lord would have you to do. And some's going to shine bright for His glory and show forth that glory. It's what you do down here determines how bright you're going to shine up there. And how much glory you're going to have for Him up there is determined how you live down here. And we'll look at that maybe next week. But let's look at some of the promises. Number one, how about eternal life? That's a great promise, isn't it? Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn back, let's look at another one. So look in Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 21. Romans 5 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know what the Bible says? Look over and turn over to John, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And folks say, well, 1 John, oh yeah, this is the principle that's, concerning eternal life. Look what he says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath what? Do you have the Son? If you've got the Son, then you've got what? Life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's simple. That's no straddling the fence. You either are or you're not. It's like Brother Moore said one time, it's like being pregnant. You either is or you ain't. There ain't no middle ground. You either saved or you're lost. There is no in between. You're not gaining salvation. You're not growing into salvation. You are saved right now. You're either saved or you're lost. You have life or you don't have life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, let's look at another one. Turn back to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, notice about this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on what? Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. That word lay hold, you know what that really means? In Hebrews, look in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11. Now hang on to Timothy, we're coming right back there. But turn over to Hebrews and look in chapter 11. I want to show you how it's translated there. The words lay hold. In Hebrews chapter 11. Now look in verse 13. He's talking about these people. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know something? They were persuaded of them by the Word of God. But the word that I'm after is the word embrace. It's the same as translated back in 1 Timothy as lay hold on. You know what it is to lay hold on it? Eternal life. It's the same as you embrace it. It's something that's dear to you. It's something that God has given you. It's a gift that He gave you for believing on His Son. He gave you eternal life. It's something you lay hold. You embrace it. You hold it like a mother holds her little child. You don't let it fall. You don't let it slip. You hold it up and embrace it and hold it dear to your heart. That's what He's talking about. Folks, you have eternal life. I've said it 100 times. Christians will never, ever die. You don't die if you're saved. The Bible calls you, your body, you go to sleep in the Lord. You don't die. You just go out of this body into the presence of the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You go where He's at, and you go there waiting the same for that new body. Christians don't die. Paul said the sting of death is sin, but Jesus Christ removed the stinger. All death can do to a child of God is buzz around him. Can't do nothing to him. We embrace it. That's a great promise. It's a gift. Look in Titus. Why are you over there? Look in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1. God gave a promise, and that promise was, you believe on My Son, I'll give you eternal life. Now, that's a great promise, isn't it? Now, that's a promise you can bank on. You say, well, I didn't feel it when I trusted Christ. He didn't say you'd feel it. It's not in feelings. If it was in, there's a lot of days I don't feel saved. And I don't know what feeling saved feels like. I'm just saved. How do you know you're saved? Because God said I was. I have assurance of it. How do you have assurance of it? By the Word of God. If God didn't save me when I came to Him as a sinner and I asked Him to save me, if He didn't save me, He hadn't saved nobody. He's a fraud and a phony. And you might as well go home, shut your Bibles and throw them in the trash can, because nobody's going to get saved. You say, well, whoa, I'm saved. So am I. Look in Titus chapter 1. Verse 2. In hope. Now that hope is not wondering about it. I don't know, but I hope. No. The hope there is the hope that's in Romans chapter 8. It's anticipation. In hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. He promised it before the world began, this eternal life. Look in chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, notice verse 7. being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How do I get eternal life? Trust the Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for all of your sins. In A.D. 33, He went to a cross for you, and He died your death. The wages of sin is death. He had no death to die, a sin to pay for. He was born of a virgin. He didn't never sin. He never even had an evil thought. He lived the perfect life. He kept the law, and He's the perfect sacrifice. You trust Him, and God will save you and give you eternal life. That's a great promise, isn't it? Then the second thing, look at another one, and that's positive. Notice in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Notice the Apostle Paul says there, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You know, the charismatic, they grab that verse and they say, "Yeah, but see, it's those that are not walking after it." It's the, they use the latter part, "who walk not after the flesh." And so they think that walking after the Spirit is some high spiritual plane up there that where you can get to where you'll never sin. But if you walk in that, get back down and walk a little bit in the flesh, then there's condemnation. You got to confess it and get back up there on that high plane again. That's ridiculous. You say, "Well, you got to be perfect to get to heaven." Yeah, that's right. I am perfect in Christ. You see, I'm in Him. Notice what the verse says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are... What's that next little word? You notice it didn't say by. It said in. Little word. I get amazed at these people talking about these Bibles and everything. Well, they just change a few little words. If you put by instead of in, it changed the whole verse. You see, you are in Christ. The promises of God are yea in Christ. If you're not in Christ, there is condemnation to you. Hang on to Romans and look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, notice what he says there in verse 36. "He that believeth not," "he that believeth on the Son hath," there's them words again, "everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Folks, if you don't believe, there is condemnation. Look in John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You say, "Well, that's in the Gospels. That's not in Paul's epistle." Let me tell you something. Every promise that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that is lined up with the Pauline epistles, I can use. You understand that? I study the Bible in light of what Paul has said. Those promises that line up with his writings, to me, they're just as precious as any of the rest. No condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh. Well, what is walking after the flesh? Well, look in the context. Verse 2, back in Romans. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death." Now watch it. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh," that's my flesh, trying to keep the law. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. You know what the righteousness of the law is? That you keep God's law perfect. You can't do it. Why? Your flesh is weak. So God sending His Son in likeness of the sinful flesh that couldn't keep the law, He came down here and He kept the law and lived the perfect life that the righteousness of that law might be fulfilled in you if you're in Him. Don't y'all get it? That's a blessed promise, folks. You don't have to wring your hands no more. You don't have to walk around on a guilt trip. There is no condemnation to you that are in Christ Jesus. Why? You've already been condemned in Christ. Even besides that, you can't live a perfect life. It's amazing, these people. I heard Brother Moore this morning talking on the radio about television about people trying to live a perfect life, and then they get down every evening and every night and confess their sins. Well, if you live a perfect life, you ain't got no sins to confess. And it's like he gave the illustration I thought was very good. Here's a man that comes up in the Old Testament. He's under the law and he's sinned, and so here he comes and he brings a lamb. And you know what the Bible says about the lamb that they bring? The lamb it's got to be without blemish. It can't have no blemishes at all. It can't be lame or blind in one eye. I mean, it has to be a perfect little lamb. So here comes the man up, and he's got a lamb he's going to offer for a sacrifice. Now tell me something. Does the priest look him over and see if he's perfect, or does he examine the lamb? It's the sacrifice that's got to be perfect. That's what makes atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God's not interested in you living a perfect life. He's interested in you having the perfect sacrifice, which is His Son. You trust in Him, the work's done. No condemnation. Then there's perfect peace. I tell you what. I don't have time to go through a lot of it, but let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll give you another one, a great promise. I have about 10 minutes to go, something like that. I might not use it all. Don't get scared. David's holding up fingers now instead of... In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there are no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Now, no matter what your trial is, no matter what your temptation is, no matter what you're going through right now that's causing you suffering and pain, it's not unique. Somebody else has done went through it. That's what he said. There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But notice, here's the promise. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, let me tell you what it don't say. It didn't say that God will take away the temptation, did it? It said that God will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear the temptation. The temptation might not never leave you. It might not never go away. But God is faithful not to let you be tempted by that temptation more than you're able to stand. He'll make a way to escape so that you can bear it. He'll fix it so it's not unbearable. God is faithful. That ain't all. Look back in Romans again, another promise. Great promises. Romans chapter 8. Notice in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness of peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what that promise is? There ain't nothing in heaven or hell or on this earth that will ever cause God not to love you. Nothing. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. God manifests His love through Jesus Christ. What a promise. Nothing will separate us. Then notice another one. Why you close? Why we just go that way? Look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now here's the promise, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What is that grace? That's the grace of man. Why, he said he'd make even your enemies to be at peace with you, whose mind is stayed on him. I mean, folks, God will cause man, your bosses, your employer, God will cause people to show you favor in this world. In the context when people honor Him with their substance. What a promise. Isn't that a great promise? That's a promise you can take to the bank. That's a promise. You can't be separated from the love of God. God is faithful to you not to let you be tempted above that you're able. Then look in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, another great promise. Look what he says in verse 13. Philippians 4:13. And here's one that I do not understand, but I believe it. Verse 13. I can do how many things? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Do you understand that? You can do all things? I didn't ask you if you could. You believed it. I believe it. But I don't understand it. I can do all things. That's what he said. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Look in verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now verse 19, great promise. But my God shall supply all your need. How many needs? All your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a promise. I can do all things, and my God's going to supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You can take it to the bank. Say, well, what are my needs? Well, look in Timothy. Look what he says there. I see that verse. I guess I'll just. You need to read the whole chapter. Verse 5. Perverse disputes among men corrupt minds. Chapter 6 now. 1 Timothy 6:5. Corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And that's what the religious system judged you by, is how much you got. We got paid parking lots. The steeple cost $100,000. And we got buildings galore and people. And we got 50, 100. I heard one said $150,000 in savings and another $200,000 and a couple million. Boy, the Lord's really blessing us. Yeah. The Bible said they suppose that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now here we go. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I've never seen nobody leave with an armored truck with them behind them going into the grave. You? Now, it's like that old story, that joke, you know. This old rich man died and he left all, split his wealth up in three friends. And told him, said, I want you to put this in my casket when I die. Said, I'm not going down in no, I'm not going out of here broke. And so, you know, they got together after his funeral, and one said, you know, said, I got a confession to make. I kept $100,000 of that man's money and put the rest in there. And another one said, well, I kept all but $50,000, and I put the rest in there. And that other one said, y'all, sorry people, I wrote a check for the whole amount. You'll get it when you get home. And wrote a check. Lame cast a check. Folks, you ain't going to take nothing with you. He said, it is certain we'll carry nothing out. Now, here it is. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith what? Content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Folks, the whole thing is, you know, what your needs are, food and raiment. You need clothes on your back and food in your belly. God's going to supply. Then the last thing, and I want you to turn to Hebrews, and I'm going to close. Hebrews 13. Another great promise. And it goes along with Paul. Hebrews chapter 13, notice in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, that's one of the greatest promises in that Bible. No matter what you're going through with, God is faithful. No matter what sufferings you're doing, God is there. He's there with you. He said, I'll never, ever leave thee nor forsake thee. He's right there with you. All you got to do is talk to him. I read that little article, you know, where